the ears of those who are listening. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning. Good to see you here. We had a great first service. I'm praying that this one will be just as good or even better. Amen. I believe that God has a purpose for us today. In fact, the title of our sermon, the subtitle is Knowing Your Purpose, and under the series or the guise of growing well. Now, let me just give you a little background just for a minute. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about growing well, and we talked about the importance of establishing our roots in the Holy Spirit. That without that life, so to speak, that supernatural pulling from the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to function well. In fact, out of that, we're to be rooted and grounded in love and established in our faith. That those are kind of the two foundation stones that we need to have in our lives. So, so important. Faith and love, guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. And we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. Now, here's the thing. This all sounds great, right? And if it was easy, we'd all be doing it. And we probably wouldn't even have to talk about it. But the reality of it is that we are challenged in being rooted and grounded and established, you know, in being connected to the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that hinders us is Satan himself. You know, he knows that our strength and power is through being connected to God. And so if he can do anything possible to cut us off from that, to cut us off at the roots, so to speak, he will do that. And he works through people, works through circumstances. He works through us directly, you know, to attack us directly. You know, it's that voice that speaks to you sometimes saying you can't do it or you have no right or, you know, lots of different ways he speaks. And so that's one way. Another way is in the area that we interpret Scripture for ourselves. In other words, we have already a pre-planned purpose, and we're like, this is what I want to do, and so God, I'm going to fit your Scripture into what I want to do, and we shoehorn it in. So basically, what are we doing? We're taking God's word and we're doing a self-interpretation. We're doing it to make it fit for our own purposes, and obviously that's not a good thing. That's not being rooted in the Holy Spirit at all, is it? And then finally is to the point where we've already decided what we want to do, yet God's word says something different. And so we haven't what? Surrendered to God's plans and purposes. And that's another area that we have an issue with. I don't know about you. I'm a pretty strong-willed person. Any strong-willed people out here? Anyone out in cyberspace that is strong-willed? Of course, many of us are here. In fact, I believe that this is a kind of church where a lot of strong-willed people come because we allow you to keep your personal identity, in a sense, yet still be able to worship Jesus and come to wholeness in who he's called you to be. You know, we don't all want you to look the same and act the same. We all want you to be Christians. That means Christ-like, but that doesn't deny your personal identity of who you are as a person. And we don't want to dismiss that with anyone here at all. We want you to be who you believe you're to be, yet still fulfill the destiny that God's called you to be. And so we're, in a sense, talking about that a little bit today, because there's some churches that you go to where basically they say, look, everybody has to look the same. Everybody has to act the same. It's kind of like we all march in step to whoever's the leader there. That's not what we are to do. We are all supposed to be in lockstep with Jesus, not with me or with any of the leaders in the church, but rather we're all to point to Jesus and say, I am following him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so that's where we need to be focused. And so today, I want to talk about our purpose here on this earth. Now, I'm going to make a statement. It's pretty extreme. Please don't turn me off if you're online. If you're here, please don't get up and leave. I won't tell you we locked the doors because we didn't. But the thing is, here is the reality of it. I believe that much of Christianity right now is in deception, that they have lost their real purpose of why we are to be on this earth. That's pretty extreme, what I'm saying. I absolutely, and when I'm done here today, I believe that many of you will agree with me. All right? So we're going to get there. We have to lay some foundation stones to get there. And I can tell you right now that God has given me a revelation in this area, and it's from God's throne room, and I hope I can convey it in a way that you can grab hold of what God has shown me. It for me, it's been a life-changing experience. It really has been, and I pray that it can touch you as well. So to begin, let's begin to lay a foundation about this whole purpose in Christ. And so if you have your Bibles or your apps, if you'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And as we go there, setting the context a little bit, the Apostle Paul is speaking to his young protege, and he's giving him some important information. And I believe that information is relevant for you and I today. And he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Man, we could just talk about this for months, this one portion of Scripture. I only want to look at a couple of points. And if you look back at verse 6, it says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That word gift, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and it's the same word. This word gift is charisma. And it speaks to something supernatural, something that's over and above the natural. And so here we have the Apostle Paul saying, Tim, look, you need to stir this up in you. You need to get this activated. Fan this thing into flame that's in your life. It's just a little ember now, but you need to fan it into flame, some versions say. The idea is to bring it back to life again. And here's the thing. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have charisma in you. In other words, you have the gift and the presence of God in you. And we have to fan it into flames. And he gives the reason why we have to. Because he tells Tim, he says this, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Meaning that fear will hinder you and I from operating in the charisma that God's called us to. And this is a problem for us because we're being inundated by the world all the time through the news and through what people say to toe the line. That's what basically the world's saying. This is how you should act. This is what you should do. This is what you shouldn't do. And so there's no room for charisma in the world. There's no room for the presence of God in the world. But in our lives, God has called you and I to operate in charisma, that over and abundant life, that supernatural presence of God. We're called to do that. I don't know about you, but I believe that a lot of Christians have been reduced down to functioning just like the rest of the world. That's not what God has called us to do. We've been called to a higher calling. And there's a fight involved. There really is a fight. It's a fight over the fear that comes upon us. Where did God really say that? Should I really say this? You know, I feel God saying this to me. Should I really say this or not? And fear is keeping us from speaking what God has called us to do. And yes, it is scary. But let me tell you something. The victory in when you say it and people being set free by what you tell them, it's miraculous. It's miraculous. Not only for others, but for yourself. You know, God has called us to speak his word over our own lives. And sometimes we're even fearful of saying that. We feel it on the inside. We know that God has said something. We need to verbalize it. We need to speak it out. We need to tell our spouses, tell our family, tell our community, this is what God has said to me, and then follow it through. The miracles that happen as a result of that, just look all through the Bible. Any place where God spoke to his children, his disciples, of which, by the way, you and I are, miracles followed. Signs and wonders followed every time they were obedient. That's what God has called you and I to do. We have charisma within us. Let's let it out. Amen? So that the whole world can see Jesus in and through us. And so as we go on with this, again, we could talk about this scripture for a long, long time. But jump down to verse 9. It says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So all of a sudden now we realize that we're not like the world, that as Christians, God's called us with a holy calling, a righteous calling to fulfill what? His purpose. Now, before we're done today, I'm going to tell each and every one of you what your purpose is in God. And you're like, Pastor Carl, how do you know what God's purpose is for me? Oh, I absolutely know. I absolutely know. Now, again, God has some specific purposes, you know, specific callings for each and every one of us. But I will tell you exactly what God's purpose is for you in a general sense. And let me tell you something. When you get that right, all of a sudden the little purposes, the specifics for your life will all fall into place. But most of Christianity today has been robbed of the power of God, of the charisma of God, because they've forgotten their purpose. And before this day ends, you will know with all certainty what your purpose is. Now, whether you agree with it or not, that's another thing. But you will know what God's word says concerning it. And it's going to set some of you free. Because here's the thing. We know in our hearts we need to be passionate. How many people are passionate here about something? Come on, we've got a political event happening November 3rd. There's a lot of people fired up. You know what I'm saying? We've got, you know, the Black Lives Matter situation. We've got COVID happening. Do we wear a mask? Do we not wear a mask? You know, we've got, right here, if I told you who I'm going to vote for November 3rd, half of you would tune me out. If you're online, you'd probably shut me off. I'm here to tell you that while we should be passionate about those kinds of things, God has called us to be passionate about something far greater. Why don't you think about this for a minute? What's more important, a temporary king or an eternal king? You know, there's going to be a president that we're going to vote for, or not. You know, we're going to vote for somebody. I pray you vote. We should all vote as believers. But regardless of who wins, that's temporary. It's just part of this world. What has God called you and I to be focused on as our primary focus? Eternity. Our eternal King, King Jesus. We sang about it today. That you might have been tricked into singing it. You know, you're tricked into singing about the eternal one, King Jesus. That's the one that we're to be focused on. The same with all the other issues that are going on in this world. While many of them are really, really, really important, and I encourage you to be passionate about those things. I have no issue with it at all. I believe that we need to be passionate about something much greater. I haven't got to it yet. You're going to see what that is in a few minutes. So, what is our purpose as Christians? There's two things that I want to show you before I show you what God is showing me, all right? So go to John chapter 13. A couple of verses here we need to look at. Jesus is speaking, and here's what he says. John 13, beginning at verse 34. He says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." That makes sense, right? Sounds good, right? But what about if you don't agree with me politically? What if you're from a different culture than me and I believe you should be doing what my culture does? What if I believe you should wear a mask when you're in public and you don't believe that, or vice versa? Do you still love that person? Well, let's give you context to this particular scripture. In John chapter 13, it's literally the last hours of Jesus' life. He had already had the Last Supper with his disciples. And in fact, the beginning of verse 13, he begins to wash his disciples' feet. And he says, you know, as you see me do, you're to do. And then right after that, Jesus says to Judas, what you must do, go and do quickly. And what was Judas going to do? Go out and betray Jesus. And then right after he talks about this greatest commandment, what I just quoted to you, he says to Peter, hey, Pete, you're going to deny me three times? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. And so let me read this again now in the context of that that's happened. So 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another except Judas. As I've loved you, you may also love one another. Not Pete right now. Don't love Pete right now. He's going to go to the dark side for a little while. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, except Judas and Peter. Don't love them if you have love for one another. Does he say that? Think about this. Now, God knows everything. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. Jesus knew what Peter was going to do. Jesus knows what you and I are going to do. And what does he still say? Love one another. And the world will know that we are his disciples. Why is that? Well, as I look at the world and I look at how they function, if you have a different political view than someone else, what do they automatically say to you? You hate me. You don't love me. If you love me, you would side with me. You would agree with me. It's exactly what the world says. Unless you're in full agreement. I think of the homosexual community. If we don't agree with their way of living, what do they say we are? We're haters. Now, unfortunately, if you listen to some Christians, they are haters. But God hasn't called you and I to be haters. regardless of their sexual orientation, regardless of their political views, regardless of the culture they've come from and the way they do certain things. You and I are called to love them unconditionally. Because it's not conditioned or conditional upon their response or who they are. Just as God loved us while we were yet sinners, we are to love one another. And that is to be a miracle to the world, because the world can't do that. You hear where I'm going with this? God has called you and I to a different purpose than the world. So let me ask you this question before I move on. Is what you're passionate about causing division or causing something else? And as I look online, I look at a lot of different Christians, I look at a lot of even church leaders, all I see is division being caused. I see pastors in churches, in some large churches, saying that, you know, unless you vote for President Trump, you're not a Christian. I see other churches saying exactly the opposite. Unless you vote for Biden, you are not a good Christian. How can that be? How can you have two people, you know, two groups or two camps so convinced that they're right? I'm here to tell you that that's not that important. And that we as Christians should not be talking about it as a priority. Now, should we be passionate about who we want to vote for? I have no issue with that. Be as passionate as you want. You know, Black Lives Matter. They matter. Be passionate about that. God's called you to be passionate about that. I have no issue with those things. You know, if you're a mask wearer or an anti-mask wearer, if you're for vaccination or you're an anti-vaccinator, you know, I have no issue. You can be passionate about those things. But are you more passionate about that than God's purpose for your life? See, and what's happened is you and I have been duped by the enemy to become so passionate about these temporary things that we have forgotten our purpose here. That's what I want to have. I just want to help bring perspective. In other words, I'm not here to change anyone's minds. I'm not. As far as what you're passionate about, I'm not here to do that. What I'm here to tell you is that we have a higher purpose, and it needs to be our greatest passion of all. And everything else is secondary. See, that's why I won't tell you who I'm going to vote for November 3rd. Because all that does is cause division and cause strife. Of what point, of what value is that long term for eternity? So my question to you is that when you're having a discussion with someone, is that the first thing that you bring up? Or are you bringing up something else? And that's what I want to talk to you about. Okay, so we've talked about love being a sign to the world that we are God's disciples. Let me give you a second sign. If you just flip over a few pages or move your finger a couple pages on your app, go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 divides naturally into three categories. The first category is where Jesus prays for himself. Then the second section, he prays for the disciples that were there with him right then. And then the third section, he's actually praying for us as believers who would believe in the future. It's pretty cool. So I want to look at where just a couple portions where he first is praying for his disciples. So John 17, just one verse, verse 11. And he says this, "Now I am no longer in the world," meaning he won't be physically in the world anymore, "but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." Okay, jump over to verse 17. Jesus says this, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Jump now down to verse 20. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and that the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me." So as we look at this portion of Scripture, he's talking about love again, but he's also talking about being one. Just as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one, that we're to be one with him. What's another word that we could use for that? We're to be in unity with him. So how can you and I be in unity with God and be on two different sides of the political spectrum? How can you and I be in unity with all the other different cultural wars, in a sense, that are going on, and still be in unity with God? See, and that's where the church, when I say this, the church universal, struggles. Because what a lot of pastors, a lot of leaders have done, that they've brought this all down to say unity means that we all have to vote for one person. That we all have to be passionate about this one thing. They have missed the mark. They are wrong. They're wrong. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I don't care how big a mega church they've got. I don't care. They are wrong. They have missed our primary purpose of why you and I exist on this earth. And in fact, I believe that this church here, and for those watching, if you're part of our church, you know this already, that we have people from all different political points of view. We have people from all kinds of different passions in their life. And my prayer is that no one here feels diminished or put down because of their own personal views. I pray that. That's my heart for you. In fact, I love to have conversations with people who have different views on things, especially those that just want to have a conversation. I really don't like yellers, just so you know. But if somebody wants to have a conversation, just share with me why they think this or think that, I'm happy to have a conversation with them. Because you know what I've learned sometimes? I'm wrong. Has anyone ever got to a point where they had an aha moment where they found out they were wrong about some of these temporary issues? Maybe you weren't fully informed and all of a sudden you got a little more information and you had an aha moment? How many has that happened to? Okay, well, think about this. You might be the most passionate about something right now. 6 months from now, a year from now, you might change your mind. So how important should that agenda be when you're having a conversation with someone? You hear where I'm going with this? So what should your passion and my passion be? You see, again, should it just be all these temporary issues? You know, about temporary kings, those kinds of things? Or should it be about something that's eternal in nature? Because I don't know about you, I want to be passionate about something. You know, we're kind of like, we're in a car and we want to push down on the gas and we want to do something for God. How many people want to do something for God? And so here's what's happened. We've been given a substitute. In other words, we've been given politics. We've been given, you know, other things, cultural different things, all those different things as a substitute to be passionate for God. And we've missed. We're on the wrong road. We're in the wrong race. You know, we're just in the wrong realm completely. And God wants us to see clearly. And so here's what I've been doing. The last month or two, I've been praying, saying, God, I feel like I'm missing something. You know, for those of you that know me personally, you know I have an opinion about everything. How many people know that? Yeah, you're laughing at me. Yeah, I have an opinion about it. You ask me about something, I'll tell you, this is what I believe, and here's why I believe it. I can just, you know, I don't yell. I have an opinion. But you'll notice that I say less and less about my own opinion. You know why? Because my opinion could change. So what is my job as your pastor? My job is to bring truth to you. Not the truth of the election, not the truth of certain other issues that are going on, because I only know in part. I don't know the whole story. So I bring to you the truth of God's word, because it's God's word that sets us free. Amen? How many people want to be set free today? We all want to be set free, at least deep down in our hearts. For us to be set free on the inside, though, there has to be a letting go on the outside. And you're going to see that in just a few minutes. Okay, so we see two things that were important. We see that love is a sign to the world that we're God's disciples, all right? And also that we're in unity with one another. And I'm telling you right now, before I go any further, that unity doesn't mean that we agree on all these temporary things in this world. It's not what it's about. There's a much higher thing that you and I agree about. You know what we agree about? The gospel, the good news of Jesus. See, that's the prescription to the world. That's what you and I need to be focused on, is the eternal thing of eternal life. People's hearts are the most important. Yet we still want to be passionate. How many people want to be passionate? We absolutely want to be passionate. So I'm going to show you what God has called you to be passionate about now. Okay, so in our final portion of Scripture, found in 2 Timothy. So again, Paul is speaking to his protege. He's at the end of his life. So basically, he's given like the last kind of final instructions that are super, super important. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, here's what he says in verse 3. You, he's saying, Tim, therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, there's lots of pastors that grab hold of that scripture, they rip it out of context, and they're like, yes, we have to fight for immigration. We've got to fight for who we want to be president. We got to do this, we got to do that. They've missed the entire point. That's not what this scripture is talking about. To be a good soldier means a person who is a follower of Jesus. Doesn't mean that we're fighting for things that are temporary on this earth. God has not called you and I to fight those fights. And you're going to see this in just a few minutes. Look at verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You see what that says there? Do not entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Well, what are the affairs of this life? I consider the election coming up the affairs of this life. Now, do soldiers still vote? Yes, they do. But are they worried about that as they're fighting, following their commander-in-chief? In other words, does it matter who the president is when they're out fighting a war? Not at all. No. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And it's the same for you and I. We need to understand our position as a good soldier. Okay. So I was praying about this. God, how I don't get this. You know, I want to be passionate. I want to serve you. I want to fulfill the call that's on my life. And I see all these things. You know, we got immigration. We got Black Lives Matter. We've got the election coming up. And I want to do something. How many people feel like that on the inside? You want to do something. You want to serve Jesus. You want to, and you feel like, I think God's in this. And you kind of pull the trigger and you do what you're doing. Here's the thing. God hasn't called us to do it that way. So I was praying about this because I struggle with this on the inside. I'm a passionate person and I want to do something. And I'm trying to hold on and grab what God is saying is my purpose and what your purpose is. And he gave me this amazing illustration. This is going to help you today. It's going to set some people free today. It's going to help you to be passionate for the purpose that God has truly called you to. And I'm not asking you to diminish your passion for some of the things, the temporary things. That's okay. Be as passionate as you want. But I'm asking you to be more passionate about this. Okay, so here's what happened. I'm thinking about this and praying about it, and God gave me this illustration. So it begins back in the late 1800s. There was what was called the Geneva Convention. How many people have heard of that? And that's where over a dozen European nations got together, and they said, look, we know there's going to be wars. We just know, because that's just the way this world is. There's going to be wars. Let's have a discussion and pre-agree that if there is a war, we're going to do certain things or not do certain things. So there was a whole bunch of things that they wrote up. Some of it was like the treatment of prisoners. In other words, they wouldn't be abused and neglected, that kind of thing. They'd be looked after and those kinds of things. And how to deal with the wounded. You know, if somebody gets hurt, you know, okay, how do we help them? And so they actually decided to start a whole, for lack of better terms, a different division of the military. And in fact, every country did this, where they had a different division. Now, how many people know what identifies that division? If you put up a picture, I've got that. So that's an American World War II helmet for a medic. And what's he got on there? Red Cross. Now, it's interesting. The one on the right is actually an armband from the Germans. It has the same cross on it from World War II. And so there was a decision made at the Geneva Convention that there would be another division of the military in each country's army. And they actually were still called soldiers. They still had ranks and all of those things. But their job was to care for the wounded, and their identification was a cross, a red cross. I don't think that's any accident, by the way. A cross on their helmets or an armband or on their packs on their front. They would identify that they were medical personnel. And what was supposed to happen is no one was supposed to shoot at them. The idea is that they agreed, both sides agreed that, look, they're there to help people who are down and wounded. And as a way to guarantee that, because think about this, if a person's wounded and you patch them up, they can go back and fight again, right? So then why would the opposing side agree to that? Well, here's what the agreement said, that no matter who was hurt, that if you were a medic and you come across one of your people or the enemy, you would treat them equally the same. So that the idea was that their job, without deference, would treat whoever it was that was injured. You begin to see where I'm going with this. So they were still soldiers. In fact, they still carried guns with them. The idea was that they were to defend themselves if they had to, or defend those whom they were caring for. So they were still in the war. They still had military rank. They were still a part of what was going on. Yet their job was separate and different from those who were just fighting against one another. You begin to see where I'm going with this. You see, you and I aren't called to the war of words or the war of the internet fighting. We're called to bring healing and wholeness, hope to those around us. How does it work? I'll give you an example. Had someone that I was talking to, and they had a different political view than I did, but I didn't tell them that, all right? So they're talking, and I'm like, well, why do you feel this way? And here's what they said: because I'm afraid. I said, really, you're afraid? I said, you know, the Bible says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Can I pray for you concerning that fear? You see where I went with that? I wasn't trying to convince them that they were wrong about their political view. That's not as important. That's temporary. But what's more important is their eternal destiny. See, and that's what God's called you and I to do. As we go about the war zone that we live in, battle of words and cultures and all the different things going on, we're not there to give our opinion. That's not what God has called you and I to do. Now, we might have our personal opinion. And you might, when you have personal conversation with someone, it may come up as part of the conversation. But you're not pushing that. Because our mandate, our purpose as mature believers is to bring hope and healing and wholeness. We're to demonstrate the love of God, which is impossible from the world's perspective. Because if you have a difference of opinion, the world doesn't get it. But for you and I as believers, that's what God has called you and I to do. Anyone here having an aha moment? I'll tell you, when God showed me this, all of a sudden I realized I'm a doctor. Or I'm a nurse. I'm a medic. I'm not just an ordinary soldier out shooting people and out trying to be offensive. You know, we are to defend the gospel. If you remember, that's what the medic had. He had a gun to defend himself. Well, but here's what we've done. We've started offending people with our opinions. And as a result of it, in doing so, we have cut off any future opportunity to share the love of Jesus. Because the world writes you off. If you don't agree with them politically, if you don't agree with them culturally, they don't care what you want to say about Jesus, even if it's the truth. So why are we cutting all that off when God has called us to be a light to everyone around us? So I'm not talking about being wishy-washy. Have your personal opinions. Have those passions. I'm all good about it. I'm as passionate as anybody here. Anybody online watching, I'm a passionate person. But I have a greater passion to bring hope and healing and wholeness to anyone who's injured, who comes across my path. And that's what God's called you to as well. So what's your purpose? It's not to bring your own personal opinions to circumstances. It's to bring the love and the hope that there is in Jesus. Let's stand and pray together. Lord, I thank you for that illustration that you gave me. It's brought clarity to me. It's helped me to understand my position here on this earth as a medic for you, as a doctor for you, for the ladies, as nurses, Lord God, as just aid workers, Lord God. That's what you've called us to. We're still in the fight, but we're in a particular position to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring liberty to those who are captive, to open the eyes of the blind. That's what you've called us to do, Lord God. Not to go shooting each other. You haven't called us to do that. Because that doesn't demonstrate love and unity in the Spirit. Lord God, regardless of people's political affiliations and their opinions about all the other different things that are going on right now, you've called us to love everyone who comes across our path. And you gave great examples in the Word. The story of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, what a perfect example to show that we are to love everyone and anyone who comes across our path and to live a higher purpose. And that's not to promote our agenda or our purpose, but rather to lift up your name and promote your purpose. And your purpose was to demonstrate love to this hurting world. In fact, there's a war going on because people are separated from you. And our job is to be ministers of reconciliation, to share the good news that you love everyone. So, Lord, for us as mature believers, I pray that we can lay aside our offensive words and defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for every person here. And Lord, it wasn't my intent to offend anyone here, but rather encourage each one to come to that position in you to know our purpose. So bless each one as they go out serving you, bringing aid to the wounded, helping the hurting and brokenhearted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning.